May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 305. The souls that would to Jesus press must fix this firm and sure, that tribulation, more or less, they must and shall endure. Hymn 305.
Thank you. Shall we read together this morning from Paul's epistle to the Hebrews? Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. And we'll read together chapters 8 and 9 and to the end of verse 13 in chapter 10. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he, that's the Lord Jesus, were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God, when he saw he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, he saith, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I have made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that, he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made. The first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. But after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament, which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heaven should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help us now to come before him in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal Lord God, thou who art from all eternity to eternity, thou who art the I am that I am, thou who didst speak and this world came into being, and thou at that time known unto thee will destroy this world. Thou before whom each one will have to stand before. Thou who dost permit each breath that we take, young or old, thou, O Lord, who appointed the day of our birth and hast appointed that day of our death, and we pray, O Lord, that we are amongst those in thy eternal purposes that thou hast set thy love upon. O Lord, that we are amongst those truly born again, not of the flesh but of the Spirit, amongst those brought to feel their need, a Saviour's name to plead. O Lord, thou knowest how we are found in this place, this day. We look upon the outward, but thou seest into our hearts, young and old. O gracious Lord, do so look down upon us gathered here this day in love and mercy. Oh, we pray unto thee, Lord Jesus, that thou might truly be in our midst. Oh, that thou would put thine arm about, keep from disturbances without, but oh, much more, keep us within, O Lord. Keep us within. Grant that in thy eternal purposes, that thou the Father might have that blessing to pour out upon us gathered. O feed us, O Lord, with the bread of heaven, the water of life. Come to each one of thy people where they are, whether far off, O Lord, whether in the midst of that toiling and rowing in the storms of life, whether in that place neither know we what to do, Lord, thou knowest where we are. And we pray, O Lord, thou wilt grant that cry within for thee to appear and undertake. And as the cries of thy crying ones go up, Lord, concerning this service, concerning their never dying soul, oh, might thou hear, might thou answer. O gracious Lord, as we come once more to thy word, to the preaching of it, to the opening of it. By thy power, O Holy Spirit, might there be that to fall into hearts prepared of thee. And O Lord, thou knowest what is needed to prepare hearts to hear, to receive the word. For it is thy work. One pen those words, the Spirit must the work perform. For it is all of grace. And so we pray unto thee, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that thou wilt look down upon us, gathered here for the good of our never dying souls. And, O Lord, we would come in confession of our many, many sins. O Lord, sins without, sins within, sins of rebellion, sins of pride, sins of self, of unbelief, Lord, wash, pardon our every sin in thy precious blood. Thou, who art the sinner's only hope, the sinner's only plea, thou, that full, complete offering from sin, thou who art sat down at the right hand of the Father, thou in whom thy people are complete, and hear that cry, O Lord, of thy crying one, in whom is my hope for eternity. Come then, Lord, unto us, Lord, gathered here. And as we would, Lord, come and pray that thou wilt yet refresh the land with that rain, much needed. Much more, Lord, we would pray that thou might pour out upon us that refreshing rain of thy love and mercy to hell-deserving sinners, that thou wilt revive us, thou wilt cause that looking again unto thee. O gracious Lord, look down upon us And any that sit unconcerned in these things, O Lord, might thou bring into concern. For eternity before us each, we know not the time nor the hour. We know not, Lord, which of us gathered? O Lord, that day appointed for us, oh, we pray, Lord, that it might be with us, be ye also ready, be ye also ready. Oh, work, O Lord, we pray in our midst, work in our own heart, work in us each, whether pulpit, desk or pew. Lord, for none of us will escape that day that each will have to stand before thee. Do, gracious Lord, watch over this church and people that gather here. Be with them each. Grant that help and strength to those with the responsibility of the place, that help in the choosing of the hymns, that continued help. And hear prayer, O Lord, for the souls of the young people and the children, those cries of parents, grandparents. Oh, might we have that right concern. Oh, for the ingathering of thy people, for the souls of those who know thee not yet, Lord, in thy rich mercy, might their names be found in thy book. So, Lord Jesus, look down upon us now. Gather with us. O might we keep thee, O Lord, in view, in all we say and all we do. And Lord, forgive those many sins of those times when we have not walked that way. Pardon in thy precious blood. Be with the gatherings of thy people wherever they are throughout this world. Might it be our true prayer, thy kingdom come. O Lord, that day when thou wilt gather in that last one in thy book, thy people gathered in, that day when thou wilt return to judge. O Lord, keep us ever mindful that we are but passing through this world. O Lord, search us out Am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood. Keep us, Lord, from leaning upon any save thy finished work, Lord Jesus, as we would ask all for thy dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1059. Jesus, the truth, the way, the sure unerring light, on thee my feeble soul I'd stay, which thou canst lead aright. Hymn 1059.
Thank you.
the Lord might help us this morning, I would direct your thoughts to the Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and reading verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, reading verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Apostle, in writing to the Hebrews, writes of that Old Testament dispensation, and writes also of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to fulfill all the commands and demands of God's holy law, who came, as we read together, as that one sacrifice for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That one, as we read in those verses in the 10th chapter, and every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Paul, as you know, in the 11th chapter, writing of those who looked for that one who would come, that one promised, spoken of, his sin and death entered into this world through the disobedience of Adam and Eve. That all fallen, all of us, that fallen nature, all of us deserving the condemnation, the wrath of God. And yet, a people loved from all eternity. And those in that 11th chapter that looked for that one who would come in that fullness of time, that one who came into this world, despised, hated, of his people. And so he is of all mankind, and yet a people. In the eternal purposes of Almighty God, loved of the Father because he would love. Those given unto the dear Son, who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul declares to Timothy that of a truth, that the Lord Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And the work of the Holy Spirit in that covenant of electing love and mercy, in that work in the heart of each one of his people, that work of the new birth. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." And only those in that covenant of electing love and mercy, born again through that work and power of the Holy Spirit, those who are washed in the sin-cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, those clothed in the righteousness, that righteousness put upon them, not of works, not of anything of us, lest any should boast. Those who are brought humble, those who are brought to see that ruined state they are in, and only Christ. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. These are they, and no others, who will be found at last with the dear Redeemer. We read those solemn words at the end of the ninth chapter. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And as you and I are found here this day, what of those words? "And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And those who are in those words, unto them are those sinners saved by free and sovereign grace. Those that look back in their lives of that time when they had no desire for the things of eternity. No desire or love to that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their chief desire, the love of their self, the love of the so-called pleasures of this world. Unto them that look, as we have later in our text, looking unto Jesus, those whose eyes, for that word look, does it not speak of seeing, of looking, of viewing upon one and those unto them? As dear Newton wrote in that hymn, Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That work of the Holy Spirit in the opening of the blind eyes of his people. For no other power will work in the heart of a sinner. No other power will break the heart of a sinner. It is that inward work. It is that work in the heart. As we said before, if there is that work in the heart, then there will be a desire to walk aright before the Lord. For it is that desire, that implanted work. If it is an outward appearance with no inward reality, then how solemn will be that day of judgment. How solemn are those words that we read in Matthew of those on that day of judgment that will say, did we not do this? Did we not do that in thy name? Depart from me. I never knew thee. And perhaps we said before as we read in Timothy of those that had that form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. How easy to look upon false religions, other churches, other denominations. We speak not in any judgmental way. And judge. But oh, much more, child of God, when those words come close to you, to me, having that form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That work. The Lord spoke to those gathered at that house at Bethany. Martha cumbered about with much doing. Doing that for the Lord. And the Lord spoke to her, thou art cumbered about with many things. One thing needful. And we speak lovingly, child of God, there's many things in our lives one thing, to be amongst those loved of the Lord from all eternity, to be amongst those for whom the Lord at the right hand of the Father, our great High Priest, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. And dear child of God, can we come closer for you, for me? Is it with us? Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. And so, these Hebrew believers, these loved of Almighty God from all eternity, these, through that work of the Holy Spirit, brought to see the Lord Jesus Christ, brought to believe through faith in his name, that hope for all eternity. And as we are found in this house this day, what of you, what of me? Seeing. Wherefore, seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. That looking up, that looking around, that encouraging of them as he comes to the end of the epistle. So great a cloud of witness. And what naturally is a witness? Is it not one who can speak of that they have seen? So perhaps children have seen the notices, and parents also, and others of course, where there's been an accident and then a request by the police for any witnesses to let them know so they can have an account of what went on cause the accident, perhaps, but these things all pale into insignificance when we consider this word here in the context of our text. That witness, that recorded of those in that catalogue of witnesses in that 11th chapter. Of those that could speak. Not of anything of themselves, no. But of that hope, that God-given hope in their hearts. Of that one who would come, and that one who has now come to redeem those loved from all eternity. Those who could speak of what the Lord had done for their never dying soul. An impassing child of God, as we read that chapter, those whose names are found in it, of Samson, O child of God, the places, and we do not say this judgmentally, but we look in our own heart. We cannot, well, I cannot throw any stones at him, but that his name is recorded. David also. Abraham twice he denied his wife. And yet, O child of God, the enemy may come as that flood. We may feel to be so far off. We may feel, oh, as we sang in that first hymn, ten thousand baits the foe prepares to catch the wandering feet of the heart, and seldom do we see the snares before we feel the smart. May wonder whether that work has begun. May feel indeed to be in that place that Paul was, the good that I would, I do not, that I would not, I do. O wretched man that I am. But child of God, the Lord looketh upon the heart, not upon the outward. We do not say this in any way, in any licentious way or any such way, but it is that, as we spoke of that new birth that is in the heart, your heart, my heart. Dear Peter, when the Lord spoke to him those three times, lovest thou me more than thee? Thou knowest that I love thee. That third time, spake those words. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou who seest into the heart, for it is the Lord that puts that love in the heart of a sinner through that work of the Holy Spirit. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And dear sinner, maybe that far off place, maybe that depth, as Jonah was in that great depth, maybe in that prison of your soul, in that cry, bring my soul out of prison. there is the... Is there not, child of God, in your soul, my soul, that cannot be quenched, cannot be broken, for it is that work of the Holy Spirit, that work begun, performed unto the end. Nothing of us, all of him. And there is that love in your heart, oh, child of God, sinner, that may overwhelm, that may come as a flood, but that implanted within of the Holy Spirit, not of you, not of me, not of anyone, save the Lord. And that love to him. And we love him because he first loved us. For without that love implanted in us, there is nothing that draws us to Christ. And we speak reverently. For the scripture declares there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. And yet, is there not that within you? That love to him, because he first loved us. That witness of that work and power of the Holy Spirit. And if we know anything of that work in your heart, my heart, child of God, it will be this with us. And again, we speak reverently, lovingly. Come, see what the Lord has done for me. Nothing of come, see what I have done for the Lord. For it is that, and again we speak lovingly, not judgmentally, that distinguishes that is that work of grace, and that is of the flesh. And child of God, what of our witness? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. And our thoughts went, well, we read of that word compass in another place, surrounded, as it speaks of the four points of the compass of Elisha. That army of the king of Syria, that great host that came and compassed the city about. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. child of God. Is it not so with us? At times, you may say oftentimes, of that looking to those circumstances that surround us, looking to that mountain that is before us, that impossibility, no way seeming to be through it, that affliction that we may be in, whether body or soul, that great temptation, those sneers that seem to be at every step, ever before our eyes, our hands, our mouth, our ears. And yet, when the eye of faith, through that work of the Holy Spirit, when there is a bringing of us to where? To our knees. May not be literally, but in that experience of it, that bringing of us to the throne of grace, the mercy seat. And it is through that power and work of the Holy Spirit, through those trials and tribulations of the way, that we are brought to our knees. As the apostle wrote earlier to them, for that throne of grace, that coming boldly to the throne of grace, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And it is that bringing of us to that place, the poor and needy, unable to do anything for ourselves. We may have sung those words in that hymn, then at last to him we cry. But O child of God, another thing to sing words, and we say it lovingly, another thing to be brought into the reality of them. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, look up, look up, as the eye of faith is opened, as the Holy Spirit brings us to the mercy seat, to that cry in that time of need. And we may have said before, I believe those real prayers of the Lord's people are those wrought out prayers. Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, keep me. Lord, support me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. cry of Peter as he sang was that cry from his never-dying soul unto the Lord to save him from that tempestuous sea. That wrought out in our soul. And that eye of faith to look beyond as Elisha cried to open the eyes of that young man to see beyond that host of the army of Assyria around them, but to look to that host of heaven. And so the child of God brought to those places. And we speak reverently that we may not be able to fathom that is going on, but that looking up as a psalmist was brought to cry, I will lift mine eyes up unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord God who made heaven and earth. And child of God, what of your help? What of your help? Oh, what a mercy if we can echo those words. My help cometh from the Lord. Oh, and there is this. In that help that cometh from the Lord. But it is that heart, as we said, the Lord looks upon that heart in which that work is begun. There may be so much in our lives. Others may know nothing of it. But there is nothing hid from the Lord. And yet, as we've gone on in the way, again, we would not say these things fatalistically. Has there not been a proving of the faithfulness and the unchanging love and mercy of the Lord to his people, to you, to me, if we are his? I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Again, we speak carefully, but the word of God is a living word. And perhaps those portions of the scripture that we may have read in time past, and yet that time in our lives, in those circumstances, when that word is made by that work and power of the Holy Spirit, a living word unto us, to comfort, to support, it may be, child of God, indeed to correct. But it is indeed of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. But it is it not, that bringing of us to that place? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, we've not got very far. But oh, might the Lord grant that for our souls to feed upon, of his great love, his care, his mercy, his unchanging love and mercy unto us. Unto us. Undeserved, unmerited, yet freely given. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £745, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach tomorrow at our anniversary services at 3 o'clock and 6:15, and collections will be taken for our needy cases fund. There will be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening. Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach next Lord's Day and to administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And there will be a church meeting on Monday the 8th of May, if the Lord will. Our friends at Fenstanton hope to hold a special service on Thursday evening at 7:15. Let us close with hymn 759. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sound to me. Once beneath my sin he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. Hymn 759.
Thank you.
gracious Lord. Do look down upon us and part us with thy blessing. Pardon what thou hast seen amiss, grant that for our souls to feed upon thy love, so rich, so free, thy blood that cleanseth from all sin. Hear that cry, O Lord, why not for me? Watch over us during the interval. Grant that help at the Sunday school. Be with us now, we pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the union and communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and forever, both present and absent. Amen.